In a way, it almost seemed like this laundry list of propaganda points that they wanted to get across.
China counters allegations of Uyghur abuse. It's Friday, April 9th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online, VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, ocean life changes. Cambodia's trees disappearing. Chess, checkmates, pandemic. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The Chinese embassy in Canberra has invited journalists to a presentation to counter what it has called false reporting in Australia about allegations of widespread abuses of the Uyghur Muslim minority in Xinjiang province. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Australian politicians have compared China's treatment of its Uyghur minority to the persecution of Jews in Nazi Germany during the Holocaust. One lawmaker said hundreds of thousands of Uyghurs were facing forced labour or abuse in prisons throughout the Chinese province of Xinjiang. It's alleged more than 1 million people, including other Muslim minorities, have been interned in what the United Nations has described as re-education camps. China, however, has strongly disputed the allegations. Its embassy in Canberra has attempted to push back against what it's called misinformation and fake news. It invited reporters to watch a presentation called Xinjiang is a Wonderful Land to counter what officials have called lies about genocide, forced labour and cultural intimidation in the region.
Dating from remote antiquity, Xinjiang has been an integral and inseparable part of the Chinese territory, and indeed a land of special significance.
Chinese officials said the news conference would help Australian journalists understand the real situation in Xinjiang. They insisted there was ethnic harmony in Xinjiang, where there were concerted efforts to crack down on terrorism. However, human rights groups have said the presentation was another brazen act of propaganda. Nathan Rooser is from the Australian Strategic Policy Institute, an independent research organisation.
In a way, it almost seemed like this laundry list of propaganda points that they wanted to get across. Everything that was said was pretty much in line with what state media and what government authorities have been saying for months, and it's in some cases years.
Australia's relations with China, its biggest trading partner, are at their most fractious in decades, with a long list of disagreements. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
Chinese Foreign Minister Wang Yi has wrapped up his second series of meetings so far this year with Southeast Asia leaders. The meetings were to discuss vaccine distribution, help with post-pandemic recovery, and other offers that experts say could sway countries in the pivotal sub-region toward China and away from growing U.S. influence. China's state-owned media says Wang met last week in China with counterparts from Singapore, Malaysia, Indonesia, and the Philippines. The group of countries Wang references would cover much of Southeast Asia's 655 million population spread over 10 nations. The foreign minister had visited Brunei, Indonesia, Myanmar, and the Philippines in January, just before U.S. President Joe Biden took office. China pledged to help Southeast Asian nations with COVID-19 vaccines, infrastructure, and trade. Stephen Nagy, Senior Associate Professor of Politics and International Studies at International Christian University in Tokyo, says China hopes to shine again in a part of Asia where most governments do not take sides in the superpower relationship.
I think that Foreign Minister Wang Yi is trying to send the strongest signals that China remains the partner within the region. I think that they really would like to send the strongest of signals that Southeast Asian countries should be deferent to Beijing before they are deferent to Washington.
Wang Yi recently told his Singaporean counterpart the two countries should jointly oppose vaccine nationalism. The term describes governments that make deals with pharmaceutical companies to treat their own populations at the expense of other countries. China has already sent its Sinovac vaccines to Indonesia and the Philippines. Washington has offered COVID-19 relief to Southeast Asia, including $18.3 million in emergency health and humanitarian assistance in the first quarter of 2020. We thank Ralph Jennings in Taipei for contributing this story. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Plundering military junta troops deep in economic misery in Myanmar. Journalists on trial for covering Myanmar coup. Myanmar's ambassador to Britain locked out of London embassy. Biden maintains Trump's tough trade stance toward China. Little noticed proposal would link Britain and three former colonies. Expanded coverage of these stories and so much more can be found daily on Facebook at VOA Asia. We also invite you to stop by our website, voanews.com. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. A recent report published by the National Academy of Sciences paints a grim picture of declining diversity in ocean life. The study spanned decades, and as VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports, researchers link a drop in species to a rise in ocean temperature.
Research published Monday shows a strong correlation between rising sea surface temperatures and a roughly 50% drop worldwide in the total number of open water species in just 40 years.
In a geological history, this is a blimp, so it's just a wink of an eye. To see such rapid changes occurring so rapidly is something that's astonishing, I would say.
Researcher and ecologist Sebastian First says coral reefs have begun moving north and south toward the poles, a sign they're adapting to warmer waters. But he questions if the shift can happen fast enough to adjust to the changing climate. The species that can easily move have largely done so, says researcher Chaya Chaudhary.
We found that all the marine species have moving away from the equator, and they are accumulating in the subtropics, and that's where we have higher peak in the species diversity.
Conservation scientist Stuart Pym says the study by the National Academy of Sciences shows broad trends that demand attention.
What we're doing to the planet is causing an enormous amount of disruption in all sorts of ways. And I think we have to get a handle on that.
Pym says scientists need more data and details to study growing concerns about the food chain. Experts say biodiversity is an essential component to nutritional food. The World Wildlife Fund says approximately 3 billion people worldwide rely on proteins fished, farmed, or caught in the water. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, Hong Kong media tycoon Jimmy Lai was one of three pro-democracy activists who pleaded guilty to participating in an unauthorized rally in 2019. The trio took part in a massive anti-government and often violent protest on August 31st of that year. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice as always to have you with us on VOA Asia. Cambodia Burning, a documentary by filmmaker Sean Gallagher, throws light on the effects of Cambodia's unfettered logging has had on the country's forest ecosystem. VOA's Penelope Palou spoke to the award-winning filmmaker.
In Cambodia Burning, filmmaker Sean Gallagher combined drone footage of destroyed forests with poetry, hoping to evoke a visceral feeling. He told VOA he collaborated with Cambodian poets he kept anonymous for their protection from Cambodia's repressive regime.
I said, please speak from your heart about how this makes you feel. I'm not interested in statistics or numbers about fires or deforestation. I want to know what this means to Cambodian people.
Gallagher says a NASA publication showing massive forest fires dotting the country inspired him to go there and film in remote areas.
And they were reporting how the forest fires taking place in Cambodia were actually visible from space. And Cambodia, they reported, had more forest fires than any other country in Southeast Asia during the dry season from January to March. That also inspired me to look into this story, because obviously as a photographer and filmmaker, I'm always thinking of the visual elements to a story and how impactful they could be.
Gallagher says the two main threats to the forests of Cambodia are the clearance of forests for plantation farming and timber poaching, especially of high-value timber like rosewood, exported across Asia and around the world. The Cambodia fires are fueled by deforestation, a drop in rainfall, and a rise in dry conditions, says Michaela Wise, project manager with Global Forest Watch at the World Resources Institute, a Washington-based think tank.
In 2020, Cambodia lost primary forests at a rate of 10 soccer fields per hour.
Wise says cutting down forests has major implications for global warming, as trees absorb about a third of the world's carbon emissions and are an essential habitat for wildlife. She says forests are under threat there, especially during and after the pandemic.
We've heard stories of people returning to rural areas after they've lost their jobs and clearing more forests as a result.
Sean Gallagher says the future of Cambodia's forests remains bleak. He says free speech is very limited in Cambodia and there is lack of transparency on forest logging there.
Because the plantations are connected to big business in Cambodia, which are connected to the government.
Gallagher hopes his film will draw global attention and help put international pressure on Cambodia's government. He also hopes to shed light on the work local conservationists and activists are doing there. They are the last lines of defense for Cambodia's forests, he says, determined to protect what's left. Penelope Pulu, VOA News, Washington.
A famed chess cafe in New York City called Chess Forum has made its move and survived the pandemic. Elena Wolf reports in this story narrated by Anna Rice.
Mm-hmm. Like, what do you call this in Russian?
Sloan, elephant.
Elephant, yeah, the sloan, yeah. See, that's in the old Indian game, this used to be a camel.
If you ask the founder and owner of the legendary cafe Chess Forum, Imad Kachan, about chess, be prepared to talk for hours and maybe play a game. And while today his cafe is mostly empty, once not so long ago, all the tables were taken.
After 5 o'clock, it starts to fill up. People come in and play all night long. And we used to be 24 hours. And no room to sit. Full place, 24 hours. There were 15 tables, so 30 seats, plus two in the front. And it was like a whole different world.
Kachan has been obsessed with chess since his youth. It became his career 25 years ago when he borrowed some money from relatives and revived a historic chess studio on Thompson Street in New York City.
In a place that was opened 50 years ago by a Russian-Ukrainian grandmaster of Greek origin called Nicholas Rosolimo.
With no wife or children, Kachan devoted himself to the cafe and reopened it in 1995. He has managed to keep it going through 2020, thanks in part to his decision to sell some of his precious chess collections online.
The French made the same thing, but with the fleur de lis, the French royal symbol. And the other East European feature and Russian is this different color ball on top.
Finally, Kachan is seeing what he loves to see inside his cafe. Players sitting opposite each other, chess clinking quietly on the boards. Face masks, no handshakes, yet.
Here, just you and me. Now you don't care how much money I have. I don't care if you are from the Robespierre family or from the Bourbons.
Life, like chess, is a fickle game. For a time, it seemed like Kachan was going to lose, but for now, he has managed to save his business and instead put the pandemic in check. For Elena Wolf in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
That's our program for today and for the week. Thanks for joining us on VOA Asia, and we invite you to return again at the same time on Monday. In the meantime, you'll find us online. We're at Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. Of course, all you have to do is look us up under VOA Asia. We thank our VOA Asia team for helping bring this program to you, our managing editor, Diane Gao, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Hybels. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.